You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to travel to another region in Africa today. Looking forward to that conversation. Today's episode is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at cune.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Brian and Deaconess Kia Payne, serving the Lord in Tanzania. Pastor Brian, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having us. We're really happy to be here.
Deaconess Kia, good to have you on today. Thanks for being our guest.
We are so excited to be with you all today.
So let's share your story of how the Lord brought you to Tanzania. Who wants to start off that story?
Well, we met working at a Lutheran church camp, and that does have something to do with the story. As I was waiting for Kia to finish with her first degree, I started a master's that was jointly through Oklahoma State and the Peace Corps. So Kia and I, after she graduated, we went and served in Malawi, Africa, in the Peace Corps for 3 years. And that's where our love for Africa came from. Just living in the village, way out in the bush, serving people there. And then we finished with the Peace Corps and we went home and everybody said, okay, now that you've got that out of your system, you can settle down and live the American dream.
Have children, buy a home. So we did. We had some children, bought a home.
And then some years later, our associate pastor, who is originally from Haiti, he said, hey, let's do a mission trip to Haiti and visit my dad there. And while we were in Haiti, we realized that the American dream really wasn't for us. God had formed us to live out there, wherever out there was, not in America. And so we went to our pastors and we said, what should we do? And they said, you know, the best thing that you could do right now is, why don't you go talk to OIM and see what they have for you? And think about becoming a pastor. I was running a small environmental company at the time, and people had told me many times that you would be a great pastor. And I had always said, no, you know, God can use other people like that. But then our pastor started saying, no, God can use you. And maybe God's calling you to Africa. And so we went and we talked with both seminaries and we decided that we would go to Fort Wayne, not because we didn't like St. Louis. We love St. Louis. Kia's family has a lot of pastors in her family from St. Louis, but Fort Wayne seemed a lot more internationally minded and we really wanted to do missions. And OIM had said, yeah, we could definitely use you in Africa. So we went to visit Fort Wayne. And so that we could go there for me to be a pastor. But what happened, Kia?
Brian might have told some of the deaconess women or deaconess students, maybe. I don't actually know who they were at the time, but that I was interested in a deaconess program. And then all of a sudden I was swarmed with women who said, oh, so you're in. And I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? We're here for him, not for me. And so I ended up sitting with them and the head lady at a luncheon and lots of questions. There were a lot of international OIM ladies doing the distance deaconess program at the time. And so that intrigued me. And I did very much want to learn more theologically, just so I had an understanding myself, even though I'm just the wife. Don't ever say that, because the wives, you know, the husbands couldn't be without their wives. So literally.
So when we finished, we both received a call, her to work with the deaconesses in Tanzania and myself to be a theological educator. And that's kind of how we wound up in Shinyanga, Tanzania, working with southeast of Lake Victoria Diocese.
So how long have you guys been in Tanzania?
We're the newest Africa region missionaries. We have been on the field over a year now, like a year and 4 months, but nobody's counting.
Okay. So tell us about the community where you get to live and serve in Tanzania.
So Shinyanga, the town that we live in, is a small town in the rural of Tanzania. But they are the breadbasket of Tanzania. They grow most of the rice for all of Tanzania. And so we kind of live in a country town.
It has that country feel to it. It doesn't feel like a big city, even though the population is pretty big there. But it feels like a small town. We're from Oklahoma originally, so that small town Oklahoma feeling where everybody knows everybody, that's kind of the feeling that I get. I think we've
So we work with the, as I said, we work with the southeast of Lake Victoria Diocese. Now, this is one of the newest dioceses of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Tanzania. They split off from the east of Lake Victoria Diocese. And they split off specifically because these are gentlemen who want to be confessional. And in general, most of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Tanzania was going towards the more liberal side. And these guys said, we're not going to do that. We have to stand on the word. And so these guys were, many of them were trained at Fort Wayne. They received MAs, STMs, demons. While I was at the seminary, I was a second career guy. Some of these guys actually were there with me. I became very good friends with one of them. Even before we knew we were going to Tanzania, in my first 2 years, he was one of my dear friends. He went off to back to Tanzania. And it wasn't until we came to Tanzania that we had a reunion. That was amazing. So these guys are confessional Lutherans. We are not in fellowship with them yet, but this particular diocese, they looked at Tanzania and they said, there is no confessional seminary in Tanzania. What are we going to do with our guys? If we send them to the more liberal seminary that is supported by the Lutheran World Federation, they're going to come back and they aren't going to be confessional Lutherans. And so they started building their own seminary, and they approached the LCMS and they said, wouldn't you help us as we build this seminary?
Walk alongside us.
And that's what we've started to do. We are helping them build their seminary there. We're in the development of the seminary, and yet we just started our first semester. This last semester, we just ended a few weeks ago, the first semester of this new confessional seminary.
So how did that first semester go? What did you get to do in the first semester?
Well, building up to the first semester, we had to write curriculum. This is a brand new seminary. There was not a student handbook. There was not an academic handbook. So I worked with these guys who I had gone to the seminary with, and we worked out a handbook. We worked out the syllabi for each of the first year classes. One of the things with missionaries, maybe our listeners might not know, is that whenever you come onto the field, they would like you to not do your primary work for 1 year. They would like you to learn how to live in your town, in your country, your new environment, learn how to, things are a little different. So I was in that time period where I wasn't supposed to be working, but we had to start this handbook and write these syllabi. So I helped. Sadly, I wasn't able to teach in the first semester, but the next semester starts on the 22nd of this month. And I will be teaching my first class there. I'll be teaching Confessions 1. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. But the semester went really well. I would talk with the professors. I would sit in on classes. Okay. And they often would say, you know, this is a lot harder than I thought it would be. And this takes more time than I thought. And so it's a learning process for all of us.
What has the first year and 4 months been like for you to settle into the culture? I mean, there's a lot of transition that happens during that time. What has that time been like for you, for both of you?
There is a lot of transitions. Thankfully, you don't hit the ground. I mean, you hit the ground running, but you come in and they introduce you to your country gently, I would say. They actually allow us to do language training first, which includes cultural training. And I think that was a blessing to us. We spent 3 months dedicated to the language specifically and the culture. And so that was good, and especially for the children. They also learned typical greetings. You know, how do you say hello and goodbye. And here, children are very respectful to adults, and they're expected to. It's shikamo, there's a process you go through for every person you meet. And so just to know what that is and to do it appropriately and to the right people, to learn that. And then also, you know, the foods, but then also, so there's the language, the food, the housing. Windows and doors don't seal here. So you just, everything is a little different. And you know, stores are different. How you do your shopping. Fresh fruits are available everywhere. Just very unique and different.
Yeah. And you know, the last time we were on the continent as Peace Corps volunteers, it was just Kia and I. So it wasn't a big deal if we lived in a shack. But now we have two kids. We have Rory and Dalton who are with us. And we have to think about those types of things a little more. Whenever we travel, whenever we go shopping, we have a very small store in town, very small. It's kind of like a convenience store. So if we want anything that would be a substantial, we need to go to a major city, and that's about 3 hours away. Well, we can't just hop in the car and go 3 hours to do some shopping and come back anymore. We have to think about, okay, that means the kids are going to be with us for 3 hours. We need to, what are we going to do while we're in the car? So, but also it's just been really wonderful to, when we hit the ground in Shinyanga, we met up with guys that we had known from the seminary. These were guys that our kids called Uncle Silas and Uncle Odalis. And Silas, in our fourth year, he would come over and eat with us. And he would always tell the kids, you know, your brothers are waiting for you whenever...
Fourth year of seminary.
Yeah. Your brothers are waiting for you. When you get to Shinyanga, you'll have family there. And so when we were at language training, the kids would be like, where are our brothers?
We said, they're not here. Wait, you know, wait till I get to Shinyanga.
And then
we get to Shinyanga. Where are my brothers?
Yeah. And when they met each other, it was like they had been family. Yeah. You know, it's like cousins. You know, when cousins meet, it's like they haven't seen each other for a half a year. And all of a sudden, they're running around being family.
It's been very easy to adapt to this culture because the people here are so welcoming and so loving. And they're so excited that we're here to serve alongside them. And they want us to be part of their family. And so that has been a very easy transition in that for us and for the children.
It's so nice to hear about that warm welcome. We'll learn more about life in Tanzania for the Payne family in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with the Reverend Brian and Deaconess Kia Payne, serving the Lord in Tanzania and really just learning the culture and embracing life there, the people that they get to serve alongside there. Now, earlier you mentioned some languages. What languages do you encounter in a typical week in life in Tanzania?
Most people in Tanzania speak Swahili. That Tanzania was where Swahili was developed. There are some other tribal languages that are spoke, but in general, the language that we use is Swahili. We do speak a little English here and there, but business and even seminary meetings are all done in Swahili. We teach at the seminary in Swahili,
I was supposed to say, think it's English.
We teach at the seminary in English. But sometimes you have to switch to Swahili to explain a concept that maybe they just don't have the English word for. And so then we'll switch to Swahili, and everybody will kind of argue about what that word means in Swahili, and then we'll go back to English for our classes.
Yeah, theological words in English and in other languages that I think we've talked about this before with missionaries who are working in other languages. It can be a little complicated to make sure that translation is coming across in the right way when you're talking about theological concepts where words matter and what those words mean matter. So I'm sure that that is an interesting experience for you.
It really is. I mean, just a very simple example, the word for love is pinda. That's also the word for light. So you either God either he likes you a lot or he loves you. So whenever we see in the Bible that he loves us so much that he gave his only son, then you can realize how much he likes you, how much he loves you. It's enough that he would give his son. And so you have to look at all the context to understand some of the words.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. How did your service in the Peace Corps help train you, help kind of prepare you for the ways in which you're serving now?
I would say that serving with the Peace Corps, we learned a Bantu language, Chewa in Malawi. And it's actually very similar to Swahili because Swahili is partly Bantu language as well. So there are words that are the exact same and they mean the exact same. And then there are words that are the same, but they do not mean the same thing. And that's where things get a little confusing because after 3 years of being in Malawi, we both could speak pretty well when we left. And so that was quite the learning curve at first to realize, okay, very similar. There are some of the same things, but there are differences. So that was, I would say, but it also made it easier because we understood the construction of the language and that made, and the pronunciation, those things came very quickly. And then as far as living in the village, I think we just learned to be very flexible then. But then again, like we had said, it was just us two and we didn't have children. So, you know, I can get away with a lot of things that I don't know that I'd allow my children to be in that circumstance, but we were willing to try it out.
We also learned a lot of patience in the Peace Corps. We learned how to live on Africa time.
Slow down.
If a meeting is supposed to be at 10 o'clock, what that means to an American is you're going to be there at 9:55. But what that means to many people in Africa is that I should be leaving my house about 10 o'clock. But it's very important that I say goodbye well to my family. But we learned that living in the village, that things move a little slower, and that's okay. It's different than what we know in the United States, but it's okay. We can be patient.
It's one thing you don't ever pray for is for patience, because God is very ready to teach patience. And Africa's a good place to learn a lot of patience, just because things are a little slower here. And it's actually really nice. Once you get into it, you really do enjoy. No, not to say that there aren't ever times where you're like, man, I wish things would just be a little more snappy. Generally speaking, it is very nice to not feel as rushed around from thing to thing. Or if I'm going to be late, no one's going to think anything of it. It's very cultural. So it's okay.
What have you... Well, tell us about family life in Tanzania. What does that look like for you?
Well, we start every day with some kind of Bible study with the whole family. We homeschool the kids. So even though we're both called full time, we're still going to homeschool the kids. There is no international school in Shinyanga. So to get a quality education, we're going to homeschool the kids. But that day starts in the Bible with the whole family. That's something that I've talked with the guys at the seminary, and I've said, look, please don't put me in that first class of the day because that's my time to be in the Bible with my family. And right now we're trying to figure out what does homeschooling and full-time missionary work look like?
Right now it looks like the children coming with us everywhere we go. So when we go to the seminary for meetings, they're there with us. So everybody on the seminary grounds knows our children very well, and they love to run around and explore. because it's all under construction still, lots of new buildings going in, completed buildings. They always like to go check to see where the current buildings are as far as, you know, how far they got in. There's a playground there. So they have adventures on campus for sure.
We also shop a lot at the local market. Instead, because we don't have a great grocery store in town, we'll make everything from scratch. We can sometimes get bread, but if we can't, we'll make bread from scratch. We have a tradition in our family. We started it in the seminary. We had Friendship Fridays in the seminary, and now we have Movie Fridays.
And pizza and movies.
Tia makes homemade pizza, and we try to have people over to share pizza with them. And
which they have pizza in Tanzania, but their pizzas are a little different. They're more, I would say, more Italian than United States based. They don't have a red sauce like we do. And so ours is very unique. So that's what I make is, you know, the American typical pizza. And so we do. We invite friends and they love it. They love, in fact, they actually sometimes ask to come early to learn how to make it.
Oh, that's wonderful. What brings you joy about what you get to do? I mean, you're still only been on the field for a little over a year at this point, but I'm sure there are immense joys that you've already experienced. What are some of those things that bring you joy?
Well, I think that one of the things that brings me the most joy is doing what God has called me to do. And so even though I haven't taught my first class yet, I've helped the seminary develop its curriculum. I've been there for the guys in the first semester as they're going through. And when you see the aha moments of these guys finding out that God loves them, even though they're there to train to be pastors, sometimes they also need to be preached to. We have something called symposia here, just like we have in Fort Wayne. And they bring in a bunch of people. They bring in all the church workers of the southeast of Lake Victoria Diocese. And then they give some theological education. This last symposia, they brought in bishops from other dioceses. And I got to eat lunch with them and dinner with them and hear the differences of the diocese. And one of the things I thought was just great, it spoke volumes for this diocese, is the bishops often would say something like, I actually didn't know what it meant to be Lutheran until I came to symposia. Or all this time, I thought that I could pick and choose what was in the Bible, what was God's word. And now I realize that, no, it's all God's word and I can trust it all. And to hear that from other leaders of other dioceses was just wonderful to hear that this diocese is having a very good impact on the whole church here in Tanzania. That brings me great joy. It also brings me great joy, as you guys know, I kind of talked Kia into being a deaconess. It brings me great joy to see her in her vocation as a deaconess, as a mother.
And I would say, as a mother, it brings me great joy to see our children thriving. You know, you always are concerned, how are they going to adjust to the culture and the changes and all this of us working at a seminary? And they have just done wonderfully. I can't say enough about them. They are wonderful children. But then also, I actually have taught a class for the deaconesses, too, actually. It was a very intensive style done, and it's for a training center. It wasn't for the seminary, because we don't have deaconesses at our seminary yet. But they have a training center where they do train some deaconesses. And I had the opportunity to teach 13 deaconess students for 2 weeks straight. And I will admit I was very nervous as a first-time teacher of deaconesses, but the joy that they brought me, I'm just amazed. God is so good. And to listen to these women who are here to learn the theology behind doing what they're already doing. They're already doing the work of a deaconess where they are, where God has already placed them. And I had young ones and old ones and from all over our diocese, and they just were so amazing and such a joy to be with. And so I remember getting halfway through getting through the first week and thinking, wow, this is amazing. And I am so glad Brian's about to start teaching his class and that mine's about to be done, because this is exhausting, but it's wonderful. And I remember ending it with such joy in my heart, because these women are just amazing and God is working already in their lives and continue to do so. I know he will.
Well, thanks be to God for the progress both in pastoral formation and deaconess formation there in Tanzania. And of course, we're almost out of time, but I got to get in the last important question for our friends serving internationally. Newest favorite food that you've discovered in Tanzania?
I would say we have to tell Dalton's favorite food, because you know if a child likes it, it must be good, right? And so Dalton, our youngest, who is now 8, his favorite food is called
Pilau.
And it's actually a rice, like a seasoned rice. And it's the food they bring out for the holidays here. So any holiday comes around and you know pilau is going to be served pretty much everywhere. But it is, it's like a seasoned rice, and it's savory, not sweet, but it is very good with anything.
Yeah, the food in Tanzania is all wonderful. It's hard to choose any one thing.
Fresh fruit.
Yeah, fresh fruits, they're really great. But they also have it's very similar to a tortilla, but it's called a chapati. And it's a bread. It's a flat bread that we eat. Oftentimes we are either going to eat rice or we're going to eat chapati. And I really love chapati.
That's good.
Yeah. The kids love to eat chapati as well. When you're eating rice, you're going to have to use a fork and spoon. When you're eating with chapati, you're going to use your hands, and you get to get your hands in the food, and that's fun. So, yeah.
I love it.
How can we follow the Lord's work in Tanzania that you've been given to do?
Yeah, if you go to the LCMS website, lcms.org/payne, P-A-Y-N-E, there on that page, you'll see our prayer card. But then a little bit, if you're on your computer, it's on the right side. Sign up for our newsletter or follow us on Facebook. I would suggest you sign up for our newsletter, and you just click the link. You put your own email in and your name, and then you'll get our newsletter every month. You can see what to pray for our family, for the mission. You can see a little update of what we're doing and a little update of what the kids are doing. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at brian.payne, B-R-Y-A-N, .payne at lcms.org. Please email us. We'd be happy to chat with you. We've done many Zoom meetings with kids, and Sunday schools, and
Lutheran schools even. We've done those as well.
And if you are interested in being a missionary, come talk to us. Talk to us, and we'll tell you what it's like. You're hearing a little bit about it, but we do need missionaries of all sorts in Tanzania to work alongside us.
So if you're interested in being a missionary, go to Tanzania and talk with the Payne family in Tanzania to learn about being a missionary.
And you'll love it.
Start with an email. It's okay.
Start with the email.
Okay. That's a good place to start. Our guest today, the Reverend Brian and Deaconess Kia Payne, serving the Lord in Tanzania. Thank you so much for spending this time with us on the Coffee Hour today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.